Hey, Oceanside Church and Pastors Hannah and Joseph. We're Darcy and Leanne McAllister, and we're some of your global workers. And we're thrilled to be able to come and share the word with you this morning. And we just want to say thank you so much for your continued partnership. It's been an amazing few months over the last while, and we're just excited about what God is doing.
Yeah, so if you are going, who are those people again? just to remind you, Leanne leads something called the Zoe Network, which connects people, activates people into the mission of God.
Yes.
And does that through growing resources, giving opportunities, and going. Well, though the going right now is kind of stopped.
I know. I was just in Cambodia and Vietnam in February with a Zoe team where we were working with vulnerable women, and oh, it's just amazing.
So we hope that that'll kickstart again soon. And then in the other half of our life, we live in Asia and work with leaders. And it's crazy. Even during this time while we're in Canada, we actually head back in July to Asia. Mm-hmm. But while we're in Canada, late night and early morning means emails and conversations with Asia. So that work continues even while we're here. And God's opened up some beautiful doors for us there.
Yeah. So thank you for your partnership. So today we're going to talk about pushing past fear.
Yes.
And stepping into the life of faith, just all that we have been gifted with in order to meet the circumstances that we find ourselves in.
So I've had a few moments, we've had a few moments where we've had to face fear even in the last few months.
Yeah.
And so last fall we were in the city of Macau, and there on a Sunday did church there, mm-hmm. and then caught a ferry back to Hong Kong.
And we were late to the ferry because we wanted egg tarts.
Yeah, there's world famous egg tarts in Macau, and we wanted to make sure that we tasted them before we...
But can I say the egg tarts were worth it even though we were late? Anyway, go on.
So we arrived back and we noticed really quickly that there were no buses when we got to the ferry terminal. There were no taxis, and there was no subway. And so we're looking on our phones and realized that there was a massive protest happening with hundreds of thousands of people. And the protest was happening on Nathan Road, which we were gonna walk down Nathan Road or drive down Nathan Road to get home. But now we were gonna have to walk down Nathan Road, and at some point we were gonna have to cross it if we were gonna make it to our flat. Mm. And this meant, what are we going to do?
Yeah, it was pretty stressful. It's at one point when we're walking on the parallel road, I said to Darcy, there's something's wrong with my eyes and my nose. And I'll never forget, you said to me, Leanne, that's tear gas.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, tear gas? You know, this is where we live.
This is where we live. So every block, we'd peek to the right and we'd look and see if the protesters were still there. And every block we'd look, and this is block after block after block, and we'd see a sea of black umbrellas, a sea of people all dressed in black, shouting, singing, chanting. And it's like, okay, is this ever going to end? And we had kilometers to walk.
Yeah.
And so we finally got to a spot where I looked over and there was no people on Nathan Road. And so we scampered over the barriers, over the debris, and got in between the police motorbikes and the protesters and ran across the street. Full, like, adrenaline just pumping.
And then we went to McDonald's. Please don't judge us.
And we may have
stress eaten.
Yeah, we may have had fries.
Yeah.
So in the middle of all of this fear, are we going to give into it?
Right.
Or are we going to step up into the opportunities and to the life that God has given us.
And the spiritual authority. So what we're going to look at is reading from 2 Timothy 1 verses 5 to 7. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to his protege Timothy. So Timothy's like a son to him. Paul's writing from prison. It's his second incarceration in Rome. He's under trial. He's expecting execution. The churches are kind of, there's false teachings happening. So Paul,
it's stressful.
It is stressful, and Paul has seen better days. So that's the context. And he writes to Timothy and says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. And this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands upon you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So Timothy was gifted. He was a gifted young man. Scripture actually tells us quite a bit about him. He was known for his leadership abilities. He had a pastor's heart. Paul trusted him so much that Timothy could speak on his behalf. So he's kind of like the package, right, in terms of leadership. But Paul is concerned because he's worried that Timothy is hanging back, that he's being timid. Now, when we were doing our research for this, we actually looked at the definition of timidity, and it means to lack self-assurance, courage, or bravery. And we thought, yeah, I understand that. But it went on and said, it is to be easily alarmed.
Wow.
And we read that and we went, oh my goodness, that's what we're seeing all around the world right now, even with Christians. They are being anxious and alarmed and hoarding things. Now, why is Timothy being timid? We're not exactly sure. It could be his personality. It could be that all of the responsibilities were just like loaded on him and he was getting tired. We don't know why he's hanging back, but Paul writes to encourage him to stir up the gifts. So the first thing Paul does is to remind Timothy, you have been gifted.
Yeah.
Because Timothy was forgetting. You know, I think of myself, I forget things that I knew at 9 a.m., sometimes by noon I'm struggling with. So he was forgetting that moment that hands were laid upon his body and he received the spiritual gifts that he would need to faithfully carry out God's assignment in his life. Here's the thing, Timothy had been given everything he needed. And instead of believing this, he was doubting and he was hanging back. And I think, oh my goodness, what a message for us today. See, if we are a follower of Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 12, you have been gifted. You have all that you need. And I have been reminding myself of this so much in the last 6 months as we've been in this period of transition, moving to Asia, moving, in the middle of, a pandemic, all of that. I have everything that I need in this moment to be faithful with God's call on my life.
The second thing that Paul says to Timothy is fan into flame. Step up. Fanning into flame is a stirring up of the gifts. It's a putting them into action. It's a cooperation of our will with God's power. Now, way back in the day, I was a member of Crusaders, which was a boys and girls club in the Pentecostal churches. And so I was in that group and I earned my firemaker's badge.
I bet you were fabulous.
It was a big fire. Now, when you start a fire, you strike the match and ignite that initial flame, but then right away you have to get down low and blow on the fuel to keep oxygen, to add oxygen on the fuel. And fires without fuel will go out. So they need fuel added. You have to stoke the fire, keep adding fuel. The Greek word, anazopurio.
I'm so impressed. I'm married to him. Okay, go on.
Stir up means either to kindle afresh or to keep in full flame. So there's no necessary suggestion that Timothy had lost his fire.
You're right.
Though he likely needed incentive to keep it going at full flame. So stir up the gifts within you. Get going. Don't hang back. Just go for it. Right. And this is not a passive process. This is not a, I'm here, God. I'm sitting on my couch and I'm going to wait for a lightning bolt to strike right in front of me. And
a dramatic anointing.
And then I'll serve you. So that's not what this is. Paul says to Timothy 25 times in these two books, 25 times he says, be bold.
Yeah.
Be strong. Step up. So don't shy away from being a person of faith. Step up, do the right thing, be bold and take a step against your fears. This is an individual heart decision. It's our posture towards right. God. No one can do it for you. Like Joseph and Hannah can't do this for you. This is you. You have to say, God, I am here, I'm yours, yeah. I remember I'm gifted, and so I will fan these things into flame.
You know, it reminds me of what you did for us. In early March, we were waking up in Asia to kind of bombshell announcements from around the globe of like, okay, the pandemic's hit here. Okay, this border's closed. Like, it just, every morning was just like, it was getting heavy.
Yeah.
And you came into our bedroom with my cup of coffee. He brings me coffee in bed. Yes, I'm a princess. Anyway.
A nice princess.
I'm a very nice princess. But you said to me, it's Breakthrough Thursday. And I remember thinking, Breakthrough Thursday? I've never heard of this before. And basically, Darcy said, listen, we are going to look to where God is moving. We are going to stand on his promises. We are going to believe him and take him at his word. We are going to pray in faith, not shrink back. And that was such a gift to me personally and to us as a couple. And really what you were doing in that moment was fanning into flame our faith, which came out of your personal devotional time that morning.
Yeah, so I mean, in the mornings, we start our days with worship music, we start our day with prayer together, we start our days reading God's word together. We're actually, this year, we're doing a read the Bible in a year plan and doing that together. So that's all good, but I had to take all that I'd been receiving that morning. And I was like, I've got to take action with this. We have to do something with that. And so I got up off the couch.
Yeah, so and good.
To be who God says I am.
So Timothy says, Paul says to Timothy, you can do this because God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity. And I love that. Like, fear of our circumstances is never from God. And if you're feeling fearful, like, don't feel bad about that. Like, welcome to being human. But fear can take us into all kinds of irrational, crazy places. So the toilet paper crisis that swept the globe, that actually started in our neighborhood, literally, with an armed robbery where they stole 900 rolls of toilet paper in February.
They were caught.
We saw that sweep the world. What is that? That's irrational. That's crazy. And fear can take us to those places. Here's the thing. Fear is not from God. But the enemy wants you fearful, because if you're fearful, then you are paralyzed. Hmm. So what I do is I will acknowledge fear and say, fear, I see you, but you are not from God and you will have no part in my life. And it's like a stake in the ground of like, no, I don't accept you. But here's the thing. It's not that we just are not fearful. That creates like a vacuum in our lives. Instead, we have to fill that vacuum. And so Paul goes on to say, to tell us what we actually have.
Yeah. So you've been given power, love, and self-discipline. So stand up with what you've already received. You've received God's resurrection power. Like, the power that raised Christ from the dead is in
you.
In you.
Yeah.
And when we bring our gifts for use by God in his kingdom, we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, that resurrection power. So this power at work in us gives us the power to be unafraid, to have a sound mind, and to love others. And that could be as simple as being unafraid to ask people if you can pray for them. It could be as just that posture change where you step into a place of faith, believing that God will care for your needs, your family's needs, and your community's needs, and just believing that.
Yeah.
Walking in confidence in your life, knowing that God will make a way.
I love that.
Now, God has given us a spirit of love, and this tells us a lot about the power that he's given us. Many think of power in terms of how much we can control others, but Jesus's power is expressed in how much we love and can serve others. Like in John 13, you're looking at the night before Jesus goes to the cross. And there, before the Last Supper, Jesus does the unthinkable. He washes his disciples' feet. Like here at the time, and it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. So he's got everything. He's got all this power. But what does he do with it? He washes people's feet.
Yeah.
So in these extraordinary times, there's a temptation for selfishness and protection. I want all the mango-scented toilet paper for myself.
Exactly. Lock it down.
But for us to respond in times of crisis with love, I am grateful for how the church around the world is responding to this crisis. We're seeing, you know, drive-through Mother's Day gift things, church camps in a box. We're seeing masks and hand sanitizer being given to seniors in Asia. So there are these beautiful pictures of us taking our minds off of ourselves and caring for others. So right after you wash your hands, like Dr. Bonnie Henry advises us to, get a towel and a basin of water and begin washing the feet of those around you.
So
in
good.
Other words, serve into the needs of others.
Yes.
God has given us a sound mind. And the ancient Greek word here had that, I'm not
two?
Gonna, no,
no.
No,
you're not gonna say it? Okay.
It's the idea of a calm, self-controlled mind in contrast to the panic and confusion that comes in a fearful situation. And a sound mind is wisdom. Not just wisdom for protection, but for innovation. Mm. The ability to see clearly and to respond with wisdom and innovation. And I think of Joseph in the book of Genesis, and you could read his story about how God infused wisdom into him in such a way that he, in a time of drought and crisis, was able to provide food for the nations of the region he was living in. So in the midst of all the fear, what is Jesus saying to you? Press the pause button on all that fear and listen for God's voice. What is he saying? And in the midst of the fear, if you're a teacher, how could you care for and inspire your students? If you're a healthcare worker, what is God saying to you about the people who you're working with, and what voice can you bring to them? If you're a financial advisor, what should you encourage people to invest in during the season? If you're a parent, what advice would you give to your kids in the light of the Spirit of God speaking
so
into
good.
You? So let's reject the fear and live with the power, love, and sound mind of Jesus. And those things in combination with each other are unreal.
Yeah, it's amazing. When this all started in January, you know, it felt like the world was on pause, that somehow, you know, oh, the church is on pause or God's on pause or whatever. And nothing could be further from the truth, because God is at work in the middle of this pandemic. And I think to myself, this is our moment. This is our moment as the church. Historically, Christians have always run towards the center of the storm rather than running away. And so this is our moment where we can come in with the gifts that we've been given of power, love, and a sound mind into those moments to join God as he's at work in Hong Kong, as he's at work on Vancouver Island, and just to see the kingdom of God move forward. You know, and I just think, wow, each one of us has a bit. We have a part to play in the middle of this crazy time to bring calm. You know, when your neighbor is losing it, to be able to come and bring a reassurance, like a reassuring presence into their lives, and to offer prayer, or to be a sounding board. Yeah, exactly. To offer prayer, to carry wisdom. Like, this is our moment. And may we not shrink back, but instead may we move forward with the gifts that we've been given to make an impact in this time.
So remember what you've been given.
Yeah.
And remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and a sound mind. And so, God, we just pray right now for Oceanside and Parksville and the people who are watching online. God, we just ask that you would remove fear and replace it with your power and love and self-discipline or sound mind. God, we pray that you'd infuse us with those things, and not just kind of sit around with them, but to actually allow your spirit to change our perspective and to step up into our communities with your spirit at work within us.
Thank you, Lord.
God, I thank you that this is not a time when the church is sleeping, but this is a time where we, the church, are taking action and making a difference in the lives of others. And so help us to multiply that out. Bless the church in Oceanside,
thank
we
you,
pray.
Lord.
In your name.
Amen.
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 Great to be with
yes.
you.
Yes. And hopefully we get to see you in person soon, sooner than later. So thanks for your partnership.